Okay, so hopefully you can hear me. I think my voice carries pretty well. I'm Katrina Kubitschek, and is this not working either? Okay. I want to make sure that I acknowledge all the co-authors on this project because it was a community-engaged project, and we had a number of different community partners that were involved that are listed up here, with our primary partners being LA Care Health Plan, Cope Health Services, who's also presenting on this panel, Queens Care Family Clinics, and the Saban Free Clinics, all in Los Angeles. And I have nothing to disclose. Okay. So quick background on why we chose this particular topic, why we're investigating it. Really, the overuse of emergency departments is contributing to cost effectiveness within the hospitals. It's also preventing individuals from receiving good quality preventive care. And some of the issues that research has shown that are related to this issue are issues around preventive care and navigating that system. The fragmented healthcare structure, where people are going from one clinic to another and maybe not necessarily even understanding their medical home. The economic policies as well all are contributing to this fragmented structure with health delivery. Hopefully the healthcare reform will change that in the next couple years, but at this point that's the system that we have. Some of the social determinants that are also contributing to overuse of the emergency department are listed here as well. Cultural issues, some things that we have found in our own research and some of the literature also indicates is that oftentimes, depending upon where people are coming from originally, going to the emergency department is the logical choice to go when you're sick. And so understanding how the healthcare system works here takes some education and understanding. Economic issues, not having insurance, will also lead people often to go to the emergency department, as well as just general access to care, which is having transportation, knowing where your clinic is, and having the ability to get there. The literature also indicates some reasons for non-urgent use, and this is for general populations, not necessarily just for pediatric populations. Convenience, being close by, it being 24 hours, knowing that it's there. Trusting the hospital system, maybe more than a community clinic, as well as for pediatrics in particular, parental concerns and experiences. New parents in particular oftentimes are extremely concerned and their first option is to go to the emergency department if their child is sick. So the aims for this particular study, the first aim that we really wanted to achieve was to forge new research community partnerships and bi-directional collaboration with key sectors and stakeholder groups in our geographic community. So what that meant is that we developed a community advisory board, and we've been meeting with that community advisory board for the past year, and our partners were listed on that previous slide. Aim two was to conduct data analysis with existing data at Children's Hospital Los Angeles, as well as publicly available data, and then conduct new data collection in our own emergency department, which is what I'll be presenting on today. And aim three is with our community advisory board to facilitate a process by which our community partners will identify intervention strategies that can be used to reduce disparities associated with non-urgent and inappropriate or preventable use of the ED. So to give you a little information on some of the methods that we've used, our community advisory board, the approach for that was really to gather, was to gather partners together who had all had a stake in this particular issue. Our partners were all located geographically near Children's Hospital of Los Angeles and had done prior work in this area. For those of you who aren't familiar with Los Angeles and the geography of Los Angeles, it's enormous. It's bigger than many states. The population of the county is about 10 million at this point, and that's the new census data will be coming out soon, so we'll see how big it is. And the area around Children's Hospital in particular is very unique. It's probably the most diverse area within Los Angeles County, and within the county there's more than 90 languages that are spoken. It is extremely diverse both ethnically and racially, so the population that Children's Hospital is serving is very unique. And our advisory board kind of was trying to represent that as well. Our emergency department utilization data, we did secondary data collection and analysis using OSHPA data, as well as hospital administrative data from our electronic medical records. And then we tried to understand patient experiences a little better by doing primary data collection in the emergency department. So our approach with the Community Advisory Board, systematic approach to investigate the issue of non-urgent ED visits. What we did is we brought together a very diverse group of organizations, both from advocacy, clinical, and provider services, and really kind of had a multidisciplinary approach to discuss this issue, understand different tactics that others have used to address the issue of non-urgent emergency department use, and really kind of and review data from all of our partners as well as our own data to think about what kind of recommendations we can have for new programs. When the Community Advisory Board came together and we were reviewing this particular presentation, I asked them to think about what the milestones for this particular project were. And the two that they came up with are, the first is the new projects and proposals. We have a couple different proposals that are being prepared or are in the works right now based off of this particular study. And we've also forged some very new multidisciplinary partnerships, both related to non-urgent ED use as well as other things. As partners have gotten to know each other, we've reached out to each other and have partnered on different types of projects. So it's really expanded all of our work quite a bit. Okay, so let's get to some of the data. So this is data from our electronic medical records to look at patient characteristics for all emergency department visits from the period of 2006 to 2009. As you can see, this is over 250,000 visits, a lot of data. And what we saw is that about half of them were for very young children, infants and up to 2 years old. 79% were Latino or Hispanic. A little over half identified Spanish as their preferred language. 80% have medical insurance of public type, meaning Medi-Cal for the most part. And 80% live within 10 miles of the hospital. Now, understanding Los Angeles, 10 miles, it's still a fairly large area, but when you think about the county itself, that's a fairly small area, and it's really a very concentrated area. So here's a map of the county, and you can see in the middle, there's our hospital in that first concentric circle, and then there's a second concentric circle around that. What we saw is that 65% of the patients who were seen for a non-urgent visit lived within that first concentric circle. It's a very small area. An additional 86% then lived within the second concentric circle. So they're pulling from a very small area when you think about how enormous LA County really is. Those red pockets are where you're seeing the highest rate of non-urgent use, and you'll notice there's a few red pockets way out in the north. That is the area of Antelope Valley, which is very, very far away. And those are around the two kind of incorporated areas of that particular spa. So we also were really interested in seeing when people were coming to the emergency department, thinking that the time of day is really going to drive this a lot. And I explain this a little bit, what this means. We have four different types of emergency visits that we identified using the New York University algorithm, which is identifying probabilities of emergency department visits into these four different categories. We have non-emergencies, meaning issues that were not emergencies at all, things like bug bites, fevers, earaches. We have the green is avoidable emergencies. So those are things that, like diabetes or asthma attacks, which could be avoided if they were in a better primary care treatment. We have PCT emergencies. Those are primary care treatable emergencies, meaning those are things that were identified as an emergency, needed care within about a 12-hour period, but wasn't something that couldn't be seen in a primary care office. So it didn't need special equipment or lab tests. And then finally, the yellow are things that were unavoidable emergencies, things that really did require the emergency department. Within this algorithm, things related to alcohol and drug use, mental health, and injuries are not included. So it doesn't include any of those. So what we see here is that we have a fairly starting at midnight and going on, it's not a lot of visits. It really starts picking up about 8 a.m., which oddly enough is when a lot of doctor's offices are actually opening. It continues to increase up until about midday, when it takes a little dip. And then right about 4 or 5, when people are probably coming home from work or coming home from school, it goes right up again. What we did see is that the unavoidable emergencies, those yellow ones, which are the ones that really do need the treatment, those were most likely to occur after 7 p.m. The unavoidable emergencies, those were more likely to occur during the day. What this means is kind of, it wasn't necessarily what we expected, but it does indicate, I think if you're looking at the light blue and the dark blue, those are both areas that really better education or better access to care could avoid a lot of these types of visits. So we also wanted to see what the top non-emergent diagnoses were. And this is again charted from 2006 to 2009. And you'll see throughout that entire time period, viral infections are the number one. And it took a big spike in 2009, which is when H1N1 came out. There was also a spike in 2008 when there was another flu epidemic, and I can't remember which one we called that. You'll also see in 2009 fever spiked, which was probably more than likely also related to H1N1, which is what that says. Okay, so then we had our own survey within the emergency department. And what we did with this is that we identified parents who were coming into our emergency department and were triaged for non-urgent reasons. There's a 5-point triage system applied at Children's Hospital, and we took those who were triaged as 4 or 5, meaning non-emergent issues. We surveyed individuals for a period of 2 weeks and got a total of 106 parents. What we did see here is that, again, most of the children coming in were under the age of 5. A relatively small proportion, had a chronic condition such as asthma or diabetes. Primary caregivers without insurance was pretty high, 43%, whereas children without insurance was very small at 5%. So they are accessing the public insurance for children. Mother's education level is very low, 45% less than high school. Over half of them had access to either their own car or a family car, meaning they had some access to health care. The household income, for about half of them had an income of less than $20,000. And over half of the caregivers were born outside the U.S. When we looked at that, most of the caregivers had been in the U.S. for at least 5 years, so they weren't necessarily recent immigrants. What we found from this is that the foreign-born caregivers were less likely to call their primary care physician or any other access, like a health line or insurance line, nurse line, before coming to the ED. They were more likely just to arrive at the ED without really calling anyone beforehand. And again, I think that can go back to some of the cultural issues. Reasons for the ED visit, both related to our own survey and then the administrative data that we saw, really look like it's related to convenience, meaning it's very accessible, it's open all the time, it's close by, and trust. We had within our own survey that we developed, we asked individuals to tell us how much they trusted Children's Hospital, how much they trusted their own doctor, and we looked at the comparisons. The trust at the hospital was much higher. Okay, so what does this mean? Going back to the CAB and looking at these data, we realize there's probably not a one-size-fits-all intervention. There's a lot of different things going on here. Some of them are definitely related to education and understanding how to navigate the healthcare system. Some of them are actually also just related to our own economic issues and the systems of care that we have. Non-urgent ED visits are really a symptom of a larger issue related to our healthcare system and provision. So understanding how to really decrease non-urgent visits really takes a much broader stroke. It's kind of putting a Band-Aid on the problem of our healthcare system. We really need a better understanding and accounting of what's already been implemented in this area. We've done some literature search to see how others have addressed this particular issue, and particularly within a pediatric environment, there's been very little intervention work that's documented and evaluated. So our next steps we are currently applying for funding to do comparative effectiveness research on interventions for non-urgent ED visits, particularly with pediatric populations. So we can get a better understanding of what's been out there, what's worked, what hasn't worked, and then come back to the drawing board and see if there's other interventions that we might want to tackle. We also want to examine opportunities to implement activities designed to increase the capacity of health literacy for both patients and providers. Again, look, going back to that chart with the dark blue and the light blue, there's a lot of education there that can be provided that can potentially prevent people from coming to the ED for issues like influenza, earaches. If parents are better educated on how to deal with those situations on their own or understand that they can access primary care, then we may be able to at least deal with some of those types of visits. And then we're also exploring some additional options for getting some qualitative data collection around better understanding these issues related to trust, cultural norms, and anxiety. These are all things that came up within our survey that we can kind of speculate as to what they really mean. But we don't really understand the depth of what's going on related to the cultural issues and some of the trust. And so if we can better understand that, again, it can help inform our interventions. And that is it. Okay. Thank you.